Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together, we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. Anthony emails us.
Says, hey guys, I have three questions. I need to be able to apply this cycle, comma. I am scheduled for the August LSAT. That's a comma splice. That's why I read out loud the comma.
Yep.
That could have been a period.
Yep.
Or you need the word and.
Yep.
Actually, you just don't need a comma. Yeah, you need the word and, or you need a period. Okay. I stopped working
Well, you need the comma if you do an and. Yeah. Otherwise.
Why? It's the same subject.
Well, you'd have to drop the subject. You could do and, but then you'd have to drop the subject.
Oh, and am scheduled.
Yep.
Or you could put comma and I am scheduled.
Exactly.
But the period is your friend.
Yep. Generally speaking.
Yeah. Okay. I stopped working for a few months in order to fully commit to learning how to get my best LSAT score. I started my LSAT journey mid-March this year with a cold diagnostic of 140. I have ever since studied every day, 7 days a week. That's every day. From 9:30 to 6 o'clock. Holy shit.
Okay. You quit your job and you took on another job. Jeez, Louise. Okay.
Wow.
That's like going to the gym for all day. Like, is that effective? No.
I usually do, at the very least, 4 to 5 timed sections a day with deep after review of everything I had doubts or got wrong. The broken sentence. Sorry. Sorry, Anthony. I know you're writing for help and you tossed this email off, but you're writing to like lawyer adjacent folk, and we are going to be very critical of your words. Okay. Anyway, I started with Blueprint, which absolutely was a mistake, parentheses, they sucked, and then found out about you guys. Since then, my 140 on March has converted to an average of 167 to 173. That's not an average, that's a range. Most of my progress started when I found out about the demon. My problem here is that if I continue my daily routine, which is working on LSAT questions all day, every day, I will for sure run out of official questions in about a month or so. There are only a few questions/timed sections from official tests left. Comma splice, what do I do when I run out of questions? I would have completed every test from 92 down. Should I retake the same question and timed sections that I already did? Or should I go study non-official LSAT questions? Okay, definitely not that. Never, ever, ever do that. Not sure what to do about this situation, which will come if I continue my schedule. I feel better about the LSAT, and I am honestly doing better every week. I should hope so, if you're working 8.5 hours a day, Ben. That's 7 days a week.
Wow. I think you're going to benefit from taking a little bit of a cooler approach to this. Even just 1 day off a week ought to help you immensely. Although you've made huge progress.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, don't
nice
knock
work.
It. I mean, right, it seems to be working. Comma splice, I wouldn't want to change my schedule since it has worked so far and I don't feel burnt out at all. Comma splice, what should I do when I run out of questions?
Okay, first of all, I'm glad that it's working for you, and it's hard to knock success, but I do think you would actually do better,
right,
if you just toned it down a little bit. Take 1 day off a week, if not two, but at least one. And go from 8.5 hours down to, let's say, 6 and break it up. That's still a lot. And I think you'd give your brain more time to absorb this stuff, work out, do those things that, you know, are also good for the mind. As for repeating questions, not a problem at all. Will your scores be biased? Possibly. Yeah. If you take a test that you've taken before, your score might be higher than it otherwise would have been had you never seen it before. but we don't care because it's not about getting scores on practice tests. It's about learning. And until you get a 180 on a test, there is still something for you to learn from that test. So feel free to repeat tests. It does not matter.
And consider just slowing down in the first place so that you actually understand it the first time. And you're doing so much volume. You're doing more than a full test a day.
Yeah.
If you're actually understanding them, you should be making tons of progress.
I mean, Anthony is making tons of progress.
He is making tons of progress.
Yeah.
Okay. Another question I had was, if I take the September LSAT and score 170 plus, would it be wise to apply still? Is applying on October a mistake because it's considered a month late? What are your thoughts on applying on October? Odd double misuse there of on instead of in.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's the end of the world. If you have your best score on record, I think you could do better to apply in September. But some schools, you know, they open in October. I would just hope that you really have everything ready.
Yeah, and other schools, I mean, we've heard Yale specifically, and Anthony's about to mention Yale. We've heard talk of the top schools just not even evaluating any applications until January anyway.
Yeah.
That said, if you want to go to law school for free, which we strongly encourage you to do, we saw scholarship offers coming out last year in September. You know, a full year in advance, scholarships were coming out. So do you want that money or do you not want the money? The bulk of our advice is targeted toward people who want to go to law school for free. If you want to go to law school for free, I think you want to put yourself in line for the first scholarship offers of the year. And there's no penalty. There's just no downside to waiting another year. To be sure that you have your best LSAT, to be sure that your application shit is really ready to go. You know, Anthony needs editing help. Right? Anthony needs writing help.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing. I'm worried about Anthony getting a 173 and saying, oh, that's 170 plus, but Anthony could get a 176 or a 178. Right. And that's going to make a difference when you're applying to Yale and Stanford and other top schools.
Yeah. You want to put your best foot forward, not just a good foot. Don't rush this. You're already, I mean, God, he hasn't even taken it officially, not once. He's registered for August.
Yeah.
You know, if you kill August and you're really ready, then sure, you could apply, but that's like putting too much pressure on your August exam. I don't want you to do the same thing with putting too much pressure on your September exam. If I could wave a magic wand, I'm sure you would agree with me on this, Ben. If we could wave a magic wand and just force Anthony to apply in September of 2023, wouldn't that be amazing? That'd be beautiful.
The pressure,
right?
Would go off, and then you could focus entirely on the LSAT and then turn your focus to all the
entirely
other parts
your
of
applications.
Your application. Yeah.
Yeah. Go back to work, by the way, like even if it's only a part-time job, you know?
Yeah.
Live a more civilized, balanced life instead of like forcing yourself to do LSAT in the most insane possible way. Anyway, you know, yeah, if you really do kill August or September and you want to apply in October, you could still get great offers. It just depends on how dedicated you are to really following our advice of don't pay for law school. And if you really want to do it our way, I think you just would apply in September or not at all. Simple rule. There can be exceptions, but I have no reason. Why would you want to do it in any other way? I just don't, there's no reason to rush. So, okay. Side question. I saw a video of Nathan and Ruth discussing why she chose Yale over a full ride at a T14. Yeah. She had other multiple full rides. I want to say she had a full ride to Chicago, which is not just a T14. Chicago is currently ranked third. In the video, it seems that Nathan found her reasoning was acceptable because it was Yale. My question is if this exception should be considered only for Yale. Hypothetically speaking, if an individual with big law goals was offered a full ride on Florida Law School Levine or sticker price at Harvard, would it make sense to go to Harvard or the other way around, Anthony?
It's a weird comparison, right?
That's a super weird comparison. Florida is like a vastly different law school from Harvard. And, you know, I want to be clear. I wasn't making an exception, like an intellectual exception, like a logical exception. I wasn't making an exception for Yale. I was making an exception for Ruth. Ruth knows what the fuck she's getting herself into. By the way, New Haven is Ruth's hometown. So it's like she knows what Yale is. And she knows why she's going to Yale. And she made a much tougher decision, I think, than turning down Chicago to go to Yale. I mean, Florida versus Harvard is a much bigger difference than Yale versus Chicago.
Yeah, it's a much bigger difference. And I mean, all these exceptions, when someone is making them, could apply to Stanford, to Harvard, even to Chicago.
Right.
Let's look at the places you've actually been accepted to once you're accepted to them.
Right.
And how much money we're talking about, what you want to do with your degree. At least if you're going to make this exception, if you're going to pay full price or some astronomical sum, even if it's not full, to some higher ranked school, well, okay, just do it with your eyes wide open. What are you paying for? What do you expect to get out of it? And I think people who are getting themselves in that situation also have the wherewithal to make that call.
Exactly. Let's get admitted to Harvard first.
Yeah.
Talk about it. Yeah. As of right now, you don't have an official LSAT on record, let alone admission to Harvard and a full ride to Florida. So, you know, thank you for asking us this hypothetical. I understand that you're just emailing in to some random podcasters. We shouldn't take it too seriously. We tend to take things very seriously here. And Anthony's like, whoa, dude, all I was doing was just making conversation. Yeah, if you're just making conversation, then my response is, I don't know, dude, it depends. But we can, you know, we can address that very seriously once you get closer to it. Ultimately, you're going to be the one who's going to decide, though, right? Like, where do you want to practice big law? Do you want to practice big law in New England? Or do you want to practice big law in Miami? What are your other offers? Because it ain't going to be just Harvard and Florida.
Nope. No, if you're getting into Harvard, you're getting into a bunch of other places. Guaranteed.
If you got into Harvard, you're getting into basically every other school you applied to in between Florida and Harvard with a wide array of scholarship offers. And so, you know, unless you only applied to Florida and Harvard, which would be incredibly dumb, you're going to have many other offers. So your hypothetical is invalid.
But thanks for writing in.
But thanks, Anthony. Yeah, of course. I think Anthony knows that we appreciate him. And keep working hard, Anthony. Maybe not as hard. And it definitely, I mean, you're going to run out of materials. It's time for you to start taking the official LSAT.
Yep.
And he's registered for August, which, okay, great. Good luck. Keep in touch. Let us know how it goes.
Yep. Email daily at LSATdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.